Thought for today. I credit good qualities I find in others. They are my reflection. I credit the good qualities I find in others because they're my reflection. I'm aware, I appreciate, I credit the good qualities that I find in others because that's my reflection. Have you ever thought about what's going on in your world? Have you ever thought about what's going on in your life, whether your life is really as happy as you'd like it to be? Have you ever given a thought to the idea that everything that you see in your life is wonderful and beautiful? That every experience you have is glorious and magnificent? Unfortunately, that's not always the case. That's not always the case. Like I said to Ingeborg, I said, why do you have the light on in your room so often? And it was on again this morning at 2 o'clock and at 2:30 and so forth. Are you up at that time when you should be sleeping? Are you awake when you should be relaxing? Now, if she's my reflection, then I'm there too, you know, because I see what the light is on. And I see all of these things going on in my world. And I think to myself, I'm really not too good a reflection. I'm not too good a reflection when I say the outside light should be on at the retreats. When I say that you should stay in bed until it's time to get up so that you have a nice rest. That you should relax and be peaceful. I'm not too good a reflection when I see those things that are contrary to what we have put in motion. Or am I? What is my role in this activity? My role in this activity is to share, is to show you a way to do something. Now, it's up to you guys to do it if you want to. And if you don't want to do it, then there's nothing that can make you do it. We've been learning about horses. And we've been hearing about horses and hearing how horses respond and what horses do and how horses react. And the more we learn about horses, at least from the Pirelli standpoint, the more we learn about horses, the more we learn it's us. It's not the horse. It's us. It's a beautiful illustration of us. I credit the good qualities I find in others. They're my reflection. When I see the horse doing everything I want him to do, then I say, I'm a good trainer. I'm a good trainer. When I see the horse doing everything I want him to do, then I say, I'm a good teacher. I'm a good sharer. When I see the horse not doing what I want him to do, I say, that damn horse, he's terrible. He kicks and he bites and he jumps and he doesn't pay attention to me. Well, who's not paying attention to me? I am not paying attention to me. The horse, in perhaps one of the most marvelous ways, is our purest reflection. When we are at peace, the horse is at peace. When a horse is master, if one can say that, when a horse's master is relaxed, the horse will come and put his head even over his shoulder and stand there in peace with his master. When the master is out taking a little walk, the horse wants to walk with him. When the master is teaching the horse to walk around him, the master is the center of the world because he is the center of the world. And the horse looks to the master for what sort of response he should give. And if the master gives affirmative, definite requests, the horse responds in an affirmative, definite, positive way. Same with a dog. If you love a dog, it'll follow you all over the place. No matter where you go, it'll follow you. It wants to be with you. If you don't love a dog, it knows, you know, the world knows, because the dog doesn't follow you. The dog doesn't want to be with you. The dog doesn't wait on you. The dog doesn't love you because you don't love him. Now, I credit the good qualities I find in others because they're my reflection. And I credit also the qualities in others that are not so good. They're my reflection too. But let's not concentrate on that. Let's concentrate on the good reflections that the world has out here that we have created about us. What kind of reflections do we want in our life? What kind of reflections are important? Do you look around the room here and do you see emptiness? Or do you look around the room here and do you see a nursery with all these beautiful plants everywhere? Do you look around the room and you see a scarcity of furniture? Or do you look around the room, do you see each one of these as a meditation stool? When I leave you in the morning, after our morning talk, do you instantly go into meditation, and are you happy in the meditation? Or you're watching your watch to see how soon it's time to get up and go and leave the meditation? Well, unfortunately, you're watching your watch. There are those of you who are up a fraction of a second before it's time to get up. A fraction of a second. Because you're spending more time on knowing what time it is instead of listening within. You should be lost. Lost within yourself. As you're listening to the divine within you, that should be the most exciting, most compelling, most fulfilling adventure you could ever imagine. But you're so concerned with your watch, you're so concerned with your time, there's only one person here is concerned with your time. And that's the cheese. That's the boss. The boss will make sure you get up and do it. The boss doesn't get to have much of a meditation because she has a responsibility. Her responsibility is to make sure that you get out of here at the right time so you can take your next activity. So you see, the boss really doesn't have a chance to participate in meditation. This is a work station. This is a work opportunity. I don't have a chance to sit here and listen to me talk. I'm thinking of things to say and I'm talking. Of course, I really do listen to me talk, but that's another story. All you have to do is sit here and listen to someone speak. And as you listen to someone speak, you think, gee, they're stupid. They can't talk very clearly. Or you think, they're searching for the perfect word that's going to express exactly what they have on their mind. They're translating from Switzerdeutsch into English a phrase or an idea or a concept that's very dear to them. They're stupid. They don't know what's going on. They're not prepared. Of course, they weren't given anything to be prepared for. It was to be spontaneous. But why are we judging like that? Why are you and I looking at that person and saying, oh, they're good, or they're not good? They're our reflection. And if they're our reflection, you would think that we'd want to have them at all times to be good. Right? Because if at any time they're not good, then who's the creator? We are. If at any time they're not absolutely perfect and wonderful, then it's ourselves who's the creator. I told Ingeborg, I said, Ingeborg, are you leaving the light on in your house because of the boogeyman? Are you afraid the boogeyman's going to come and take you away? If that is the case, You know what we should do? We should have our suitcase ready and have our clothes all set. So if the boogeyman comes and wants to take us away, we're all set to go. You know? And then, of course, he'll never come. A lot of you have given me this silly statement. If a UFO landed here and said, come with me, I want to take you with me, I would go along with him. Ha, ha, ha. You'd run so fast that we couldn't even see your smoke. You're scaredy cats. You're scared of yourself. Do you know who that man is in the flying saucer? You. You know who the boogeyman is? It's you. You know, anything that panics you in your life is you. And you know why you panic yourself? You know why you're the boogeyman? You know why you're the man in the flying saucer? Because those are areas that you have not yet taken charge of and become the master of. Now, how does a mother help a child be aware of the boogeyman? She says, come on, sweetheart. Let's crawl under the bed and see who's down there. And there's nobody there. Well, he must have gone. That's because you don't want him here. And the mother's not going to say, there is no such thing as a boogeyman. Now get that out of your mind. Get that out of your stupid thinking. No. If he thinks there's a boogeyman, let's go find him. You see, all these things are our creation. All these things are our reflection. What sort of reflection do you have? Why is John going around the world, chasing around the world, looking for wonderful experiences and looking for wonderful understanding of truth? Why is John going around the world looking for gurus and teachers and experiences that's going to illumine him? Doesn't he know how stupid he is? Doesn't he know? You see, if he would leave himself home and then go around the world, that might be interesting. But he takes himself with him. And so here he's taking the very thing that he's looking for with him. He's looking for himself. He's looking to know who he is. He's looking to know what that wonderful person is that's within him. And he doesn't have the slightest idea how wonderful he is. We do, but he doesn't have the slightest idea. And you know why he doesn't? Because he's always chasing to find out how wonderful he is. He's always looking in some new location, in some new experience, what he is. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do this. Travel is fun. But don't go looking for yourself. Go with yourself and take yourself there and make the world just a little more beautiful because you have passed through. Not because of what you've taken from it, but for what you have given to it. When you go to the Sierras, bless the mountain. Fill it with your love. And every person who climbs that mountain will feel your love and feel the simplicity of it. And they'll say, my God, why am I climbing this mountain? It's the simplest thing in the world. And when you go to the jungles, when you go to a city, when you meet people, and some of the people are charming and some of the people are otherwise, surround them with your pure white light of love because they're your reflection. Only see in them how wonderful you are. Only see in them your goodness. Ellen wants to run up to Russia and change all the Russian people over to positive thinking. And good for you, Ellen. But you will fail miserably. Miserably, miserably you'll fail. Do you know how she'll fail? Because she wants to change them. If she goes up there and sees them all positive right now, sees them all fantastic, right? Why is she going? Is she going to go to change the world? No, she's going up there to see them all positive and fantastic. Why does John climb Mount Everest? He climbs Mount Everest not to see if he can do it. He's climbing Mount Everest to see all the beauty that he knows is there, to see all the magnificence of it that he knows is there. He's not going there because of the troubles. He's not going there because of the New Zealand people who were caught in an avalanche and killed. He's not going there because of this, that, or the other. He's only going there because his heart says, that's beautiful. Go share your love. Surround that mountain with your pure white light of love. Let everyone who walks that mountain feel your presence. You know the old story. John slept here. Ellen slept here. Anita slept here. Ingeborg sleeps here. Sylvia slept here. You know that? Washington slept here. These are back in the East Coast. The presidents had slept in different houses because they had gone there on a visit or something. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, why? Why do people say they slept here? Their charisma is there. Can't you just feel when Washington was here back in those early days? Not really, but tell me about it. But when you can feel it, when you walk into a cathedral and you feel the joy of the magnificence of all the hearts that were reaching out to God outside themselves, all of them who were looking in the wrong place for everything that's within them. And then can you just imagine God in them saying, hey, look in here, come on, inside here, in here, in here, in here. And they wake up in that great cathedral. And they do. They wake up in that great cathedral to realize that I am God. They're wonderful. And so every time they walk in that cathedral, it reminds them that they're God. The priest says it to them. The minister says it to them. The music says it to them. The building says it to them. And then there are many others who walk out into the forest and they see the sunlight filtering down through the trees and they say, this is the house of God. And that's nice too. And then there's the baby who takes his toe and puts it in his mouth and sucks on his toe. Content as can be. And he knows that he is God. And he speaks his word, and all the world trembles to fulfill his choice. And then he has a tendency to do something very unfortunate. He grows older. And he allows the world to teach him instead of teaching him himself. This is why we all aspire and admire the Tarzan, the Romulus and Remus, the little children who were left out with no parents to guide them and help them. And because they were glorious beings and they knew they were glorious beings, they created around them the wolves to take care of them. The wolves will tear them apart. No, not when you're pure innocence. Or the apes to take care of him in the jungle. Are these real stories? It doesn't matter. They're the stories of people's heart, of their belief in themselves under all circumstance to have a wonderful, glorious experience. Oh, there's lots of frightening things. There's lots of scary things as they are chasing along. But what did Edgar Rice Burroughs do with Tarzan? He had him wrestling with a lion and a tiger, not to kill him, but to wrestle with him, to have fun. And the tiger knew it, and the lion knew it, and the ape knew it, because he created them that way. And only later did Edgar Rice Burroughs feel he had to write more about Tarzan. So he created Tarzan living in a civilized type of world in which he had to save even the bad man from the tiger, because the tiger responded to the bad man and wanted to put him away. The tiger responded to Tarzan, the good man, and wanted to be his friend. What is it that you're creating? What sort of reflection are you bringing out in the world? Are you looking in the world and finding your best and only your best? Do that. Tell the world how wonderful you are by what you find wonderful in the world. Tell the world what a joyous place it is by what joy you find in the world. What is it you're creating out there? Are you creating something that is frightful to you or something that is magnificent to you? Well, if you had a choice, would you create yourself in a lion's den? Would you create yourself a Daniel in the lion's den, untouched? Oh, yes, oh, that sounds so good. Or would you create yourself not even having to be concerned with lions? Teddy bears, maybe. Beautiful people. Things you understand. All I have to do is say one word, and it'll frighten all of you to the point of disgust. All I have to do is say, rattlesnake! And right away you think, whoops, 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 where's the rattlesnake? You know what? You're afraid of it. And so long as you're afraid of it, then there's something in this world that controls you and manipulates you. Now, it's only because the rattlesnake is unknown and you haven't gotten down there and says, hi, old buddy. I created you. And he says, yeah, I know. But there's sometimes you forget you created me and you'd like to kill me. Sometimes you forget you created me and you want to get rid of me. Sometimes you forget that you created me and you created me just the way I am and you don't like it. What's the matter with you? Don't you understand? At all times, you must be at the helm of your ship. At all times, you must be in control of your world. At all times, you must say, I created all things, and they are good and very good. And you don't create something being harmful to you or anyone else. But you do create animals killing other animals for food. You do create creatures eating upon one another. You do create that. Now, why don't you just create them all vegetarians? Creatures feeding upon plants and things like that. Well, what's wrong with the plants? Is something bad about the plants? Why should we eat the plants? Well, why should we eat anything? And this is what we've created. Because in our limited consciousness, we feel that is an interesting thing. Do you think that if the divine creates anything, it needs anything to sustain itself? Just take for a second your body. It's made up of an infinite number of atoms. And each atom is a whirling world of energy. Neutron, proton, electron, all harmoniously interweaving, all continuous. You can't stop it. And your food that you put in your body doesn't make them any more vigorous, or doesn't make them any more eternal, doesn't make them any more useful. But you see, you don't believe there's such a thing as perpetual motion. You don't believe there's such a thing as eternal life. You don't believe there's such a thing as a body that can live without eating. And people are proving that that is so. Not a lot of them, because it takes a special circumstance within a person to do this. And you know what that circumstance is? Not needing anything, not wanting anything, not possessing anything, not manipulated by anything, by judging it or anything else like that. If you go on a diet, and your diet is one that is important to you, you will go on that diet. You will not be concerned what anybody else is doing. You'll go on that diet. If other people around you are eating the most heinous foods for your diet, you don't judge it and say, that's a heinous food. You look at whatever they're eating and say, hey, enjoy. Enjoy. Here our friend Gordy is so much into this beautiful Atkins diet, and he comes to this party, and he says, yeah, we can break off every once in a while and enjoy it. We can break our diet and do it. But some, oh, no, no, oh, don't you dare do that. You can't break. Oh, if you break the diet, you're going to kill yourself. Huh? Who says? What if you just eat normally and eat with the right attitude of mind, then you won't need a diet. What is it that's going on in you that you're possessed by the world outside of you? Realize that within you all things exist and all things are perfect. Realize that, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Everything that you see is your reflection. And if you see people unhappy with you for any reason, that's your reflection. You just look at them and see them happy at you. I was sitting in my office one day, I told this story, and one of my ladies would come into my office, and she would use one box of Kleenex every time she was there. And I said, only one box. And so she was upset about that. And so she went to the chairman of the board, and she says, Dr. Wiley, he doesn't really understand me. He doesn't do it. And she loved me. She loved me terribly. And so the chairman came in. He was ready to give me a going over for whatever he thought he was going to give me a going over for him. And my office was about as big as this room here. And as he came from the door to my desk, I just said, good goes from me, good comes to me. Good goes from me, good comes to me. And by the time he got to my desk, he forgot what he was going to ask me. And then I said to him, because I knew what he was there for, I said, well, did Dorothy get on your back? Oh, yeah, yeah. What's that all about? And I said, well, you know, Dorothy comes in for counseling, and I love her. But I told her, only one box of Kleenex per counseling session. If you're going to cry more than that, bring your own Kleenex, you know. And she started to do that, too. But bring your own Kleenex. And he said, oh, I see, you know. The whole tenor of it was changed. But I didn't ignore the circumstance. I merely was in charge. Instead of having him come in and say, what's all this about? And then me defending myself, I just surrounded myself with my pure white light of love, only good going from me. And people forget to ask the question that they wanted to ask. And so then, rather than to let it come up later, I immediately answer it, agree with your adversary quickly, and the problem ceased to exist. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. I credit good qualities I find in others. They are my reflection. I credit the good qualities I find in others. They're my reflection. I don't pay any attention to those other things that I see occasionally. Out, 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 out. That's not part of me. Everything I create is good and very good. And I'm a very, very wonderful creator. And so it is. Except that now we'll go into phase two. You knew that was coming. And here we begin phase two. And our topic is, for the thought for today, everything happens by a cause put in motion. Everything. Everything happens by a cause put in motion. Everything. Everything happens by a cause put in motion. I made a statement the other day, and I said, if you drop a glass, or if you break a glass, you're no longer working on the kitchen crew. You do something else. And so, within seconds of making the statement, a glass was dropped and broken. And I said, okay, you're off the crew. So then, a month later, someone else broke a glass. Now, why was the glass broken? Why was glass, plate, bowl, doesn't matter. Why was it broken? It's broken here. It's broken in our consciousness. Could you go for a month of Sundays? Could you go for a year or two or three and never break a dish? Have you lived in a household where breaking a dish was such a rare thing you never even think about it? You never even have it happen. It just is not in your consciousness. Ooh, in your consciousness. Yes, it's just not in your consciousness. Now, I know all of you, and I know all of you to the very depth of your being. And I know all of you have a great joy in lying. And it's unfortunate, but that's true. And I said, always tell me when you break something. And I used to say that to people, and there was nothing taking place from breaking something. Just tell me so we could go buy more dishes. And you did. And you were breaking up dishes like they're going out of style. You put them in the dishwasher, and the top of the dishwasher, the little thing was spinning, click, 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 bust them up, one after the other. We had to throw them out. We'd thrown out perhaps $400 or $500 worth of dishes, because we will not eat with a dish that has a chip on it or imperfection on it. Well, then you figured out, that wasn't going to get me unhappy. That wasn't going to change your position as dishwasher. And you stopped doing it, which is very good. The dish company missed you very much, but it's very good. So, I say to you, everything happens by a cause put in motion, everything. So now, after a month of no dishes being damaged in the kitchen, John goes to the sink, and he turns on the hot water to rinse the dish, and it was hotter than he expected it, and he dropped the dish, and it broke, something of that nature, whatever was the cause. But I don't care what the cause was, he broke a dish. So now, what is the condition for John? The condition is that he is no longer on the kitchen crew. Now, when was he no longer on the kitchen crew? From the moment he broke the dish. Because it was done on purpose. I didn't do it on purpose. Nothing happened by chance. You see, if we're going to believe the philosophy that we're teaching here, and the philosophy says nothing happens by chance, everything is a cause put in motion, then he has to admit that he did it on purpose. Ah, you know, well, I really didn't mean to do it on purpose. But we do, don't we? Now, what is all this stuff about doing things on purpose? What is all this stuff about that we're doing things because we don't want to do other things. People break their handles on their rake because they don't want to rake. People find the machines don't work because they don't want to do the work. Now, Ellen had her grandson here, and he was playing on our equipment, having a good time. Well, actually, he was very tired of mowing the lawn, sitting on that rider mowing the lawn. And the next day when he went to start the mower, it didn't work. And he thought, good, I'll do something else. And so his grandmother came along, and she says, no. And so he realized what he'd been learning all week was putting a cause in motion. He says, well, all right, it works. And so he turned the key a second time, and it worked. Now, why didn't it work the first time or any subsequent time if he felt it wasn't going to work? Because he felt it wasn't going to work. We make things not work when we don't want them to work. Now, we have a little punk of a girl who goes out and puts a tractor together. She backs the tractor up to some gigantic scraper or whatever the gadgets may be, and with precision she backs it right in so that it connects, and she just has to put the bolts in and it's done. Well, now, farmers can't even do that. They have to wiggle their equipment around, they have to wiggle the scrapers around and try to get these things in place, and they're macho, and they do that. And here you are, a little pipsqueak, you know. You're strong, stronger than a normal person, but you're not as strong as these bulls that call themselves farmers. And what do? You don't say, it doesn't work. I need someone to help me. There's no way I can put that on by myself. You just say, let me see now. How can I do this? And then the way is there for you to do it. Because you put the cause in motion to have it happen. Other people put the cause in motion that it doesn't work. It's very interesting. And it's really quite surprising who does that. Really quite surprising. One of our friends is one of the people who does that. Because he really doesn't want to do those things. He wants to do other things. But we have him cataloged and categorized as working outside and doing these things perfectly, so therefore he does it. But he'd much rather be in working on the computers and doing things like that. And does he really want to be on the computers? Or is he just a little fearful of working on the computers because they're a little bit beyond his scope as being a technician? And you can always see right where Gregor is, and you know just what he's thinking, because when the machinery doesn't work, he wants to be in the house. When the machinery works perfect, he doesn't want to be in the house. We all put the cause in motion in a perfect way for our life in everything we do, no matter what it is we do. Now, the thing that I have always been very definite about all of my life is when I make a statement, I back it up. When I make a statement, I follow through on it, and I tell people, this is what it is, and this is what it is. If I do not do that, I am breaking my tools. What are my tools? My tool is my word. So when I speak my word and I say, no one works in the kitchen if they break a dish. And so you all break the dishes and nobody works in the kitchen anymore. And that's just fine too. Then we don't eat anymore. Would you like that? Interesting, huh? But I'm serious. You do not have to create damage in any area of life at all. It's all our consciousness. Now you say, well, why are you picking on John like this? Picking on John? I'm not picking on him. I'm picking on all of you. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just pointing out to you, this is the program. This is what we do. You understand, don't you, John?
Sure.
Yes. He understood before, and he was wondering why I didn't insist on it before. Now, can anyone tell me why I didn't insist on it before? Anyone? Oh, come on now. Ellen, what did you do when you were a bad little girl?
I went to stay.
You went and stood in the corner. Your mother didn't send you. You went. You knew the rule, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, enough said. So, when we know the rules, we follow them instantly. We instantly take ourselves out of whatever and put ourselves in whatever. That's just the way it is. So then John says, okay, what do you want me to do? Well, we say to Ingeborg, okay, what do we want you to do? See, Ingeborg's back on the dishes again now. Now, Ingeborg, how soon are you going to break another dish? She says, never, never. And John will be on his program for a while, and we'll watch that. But everything happens by a cause put in motion. Now, everything happens by a cause put in motion. What cause are you putting in motion for yourself? John, how many accidents do you have every week with your car?
None.
Very good. It took you a while, but very good. I'm glad you finally arrived there. John, how many accidents do you have every week with the car? None. Okay. When are you going to start having accidents with your car?
Never.
When would you start having accidents? When you put causes in motion for it. When you concentrate on accidents, when you have to be a head turner, you know, and look over at the accident and crunch, you bumping somebody ahead of you. Or when you're trying to do something while you're driving and it takes your total attention, tune that radio, crunch, somebody stops ahead of you. Our responsibility while we're driving is to drive. And if we're going to want to tune the radio or do anything, we should do it ahead of time. Or we should know what we're doing. We just put our finger over here on the next station button, you know, clink, clink, clink. But we're paying attention to the road, clink, clink, clink. Which is okay. But you have to learn those things ahead of time. You don't learn them at the last minute. You learn them right while you're going to do it, not while you're doing it. I give you these little sheets that we bought from this company on how to use Word for Windows. And there's a lot of great ideas in there. And I know that you haven't read them. I know that you haven't even read 1 out of 10. Do you know how I know? Because you have them up in your files. If you read them, you'd put them away. This one, oh, I guess we better put everything away. Well, that's okay. Put it away. But you've already told me the story. You've already told me the story that you didn't read it. Just browse through it, and if any of the topics are of interest to you, then read it thoroughly and then apply it. Because there's a lot of great ideas in there. Ideas that you have come asking me about, which are explained very nicely in there. You don't have to read it with a fine-tooth comb and read every bit of it, because every bit of it doesn't apply to you right now. But they tell you how to make calendars. They tell you how to put information into calendars. They tell you how to make tabulations and how to tab and how to bring up the tab spacer and most, oh, where is the numbers or where is the ruler? Well, Sylvia, where is the ruler? Ellen?
On the toolbar.
On that toolbar. What took you so long? See, you knew it. On the toolbar. Now, how do you get to the toolbar? Huh?
In view.
Well, how interesting. And what do you do when you're in view?
You go to the toolbar.
You click on the toolbar. And what do you find there? You find the clip box even, you know. So that if you want to clip something, that's right in there. And so show it. And there's lots of neat stuff on there. Just play with it, play with it. But that's what that little green folded sheet that comes out once a week or a month. Read the thing. It opens up all sorts of fascinating ideas for you. But if you're not going to put the cause in motion to be wise and brilliant. Now, Sylvia sort of believed in herself, but sort of didn't. Say the first thing that comes to your mind, and you're right. You know these things. You know all this. Trust yourself. Believe yourself. Did she come up with the right answer? Sure. Did John come up with the right answer about how many accidents he's going to have a week? It took him a second or two. Don't hesitate on the truth. And don't put in motion anything you don't want to experience. Because if you put into motion things you don't want to experience, you do want to experience it. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do for yourself now? Everything happens by a cause put in motion. Everything. So now, what are you going to do about that? What sort of cause are you going to put in motion? What sort of cause are you going to put in motion so that everything happens by a cause put in motion? What cause are you going to put in motion? John, what cause are you going to put in motion?
All my world is total harmony.
All my world is total harmony. Ellen, what cause are you going to put in motion?
I'm surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances.
I'm surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. That sounds good. And Anita, what cause are you going to put in motion?
I am peace.
I am peace. Mm-hmm. And Sylvia, what cause are you going to put in motion?
I am the pure white light of love.
Oh, ho, ho. I am the pure white light of love. Sounds pretty good. And Ingeborg, what cause are you going to put in motion? I like me. Very good. So, you see, these are causes that can only bring us great results. They can only bring us great happiness and great responses to life. But sometimes we put a cause in motion, there's a boogeyman under the bed. What must mother do? Mother must teach you to say, my room is surrounded by my pure white light of love. In my room is everything beautiful and good. Under my bed are my toys only, you know. Everything in my room is wonderful. And I have a toy. And his name is Mr. Boogeyman. And I'm going to rename him. And his name is Mr. Goodwrench. I'm Mr. Nice Guy. His name is Mr. Do you know Mr. Goodwrench? In a business, he is the guy who is the Goodwrench. You go in and you need work done on your car, and Mr. Goodwrench will do it, and he'll know exactly what you need to have done. And so, Mr. Good Guy, Mr. Goodwrench. So, parents, they tell their children stories. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. My soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, wowee, what a neat thought. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, okay. He's got my soul anyhow. He never did give it to me. I'm in hock to him, you know. We teach these songs. We teach these nursery rhymes. The word Grimm's Fairy Tale, you know, Grimm, what does that mean? Not a very pleasant fairy tale. And there weren't very pleasant fairy tales. And many of them took place during the plague. Many of them were written during the Great Plague years, centuries ago. Yeah. We are in charge. Everything we do is a cause put in motion by ourselves. What experience do you want in life? What do you want to experience? Where are you going with who you are? Are you going to be the beautiful being that you are? This is not a silly game we're playing. If you say, I don't like me, and then things don't go your way, don't be surprised. If you say, I like me, and things start going your way, don't be surprised. As I mentioned to you many times, our practitioners are kind of interesting people. They'll say, guess what, Herb? This healing went through perfect. Guess what? You know, she called to tell me the healing is perfect. Guess what? You know, I said, what's all this guess what about? You spoke your healing word, and what else should happen but wholeness? We must arrive at the point where we believe what we are teaching and sharing. What we're teaching and sharing works whether we believe it or not. You understand that? Whether we believe it or not, it works. But when we believe it, we will apply it a little more often. We will use it a little more often. We will use it all the time. And that's pretty wonderful. Now, are you ready for that? Now, every day we give you a few minutes for introspection. Today you're not going to have any time for introspection. You're just going to go right on to your reading of your lesson and then to preparing breakfast. Herb, why are you doing this to us? Well, because you do it to yourself. You've shown me that you don't really care about the introspection. You don't care about the time that we give you to introspect. You're watching your watch. Let's see now. Up and going, you know, onto the toilet, into this, into that. In your introspection, you should be gone, meditatively speaking. You should be off on that realm of deep inner awareness. Wow. In a few days, I'll lead you in a introspection in the morning and let you walk with me through what might be a beneficial introspection for all of you. But think about it. Think about it. Nothing happens by chance in this world. You know that. So start applying that to everything in your life. Start applying it to every thought you have about yourself. Now, you're unhappy with me because I've taken away the introspection this morning. Don't. Don't be unhappy. Just say, whatever the program is, I'm giving you 2 half-hour lectures this morning, and you're saying, oh, boy, that messes everything up. No, it doesn't. You're here to be in the school. You're here to be in the college. You're here to be in the monastery. You're here to learn. And the only way that we can learn is by putting into practice what we know to be our truth. I'm not asking you to say what I say, do what I say, and be what I am. I'm asking you to say what you say, do what you do, and be what you are. And that is wonderful. Really wonderful. But you, if you're touched by anything I do, and I'm your sharer, then you got a problem. Then you're at the point of killing the Buddha when you meet him on the path. And that's okay. But stop and think now. What is it that you're going to do? What program are you going to put in motion for yourself? How are you going to handle your life? What's your next step? See, normally while you're doing your introspection, I'm walking outside doing my introspection, taking my second or third walk over the morning. As I walk around the property, I absolutely do not feel the temperature at all. I do not feel the breeze. I do not feel anything at all. I walk in a certain quietness and peace. You say, well, you probably should put your hearing aid on, yeah. No, I walk in quietness and peace. And I hear everything that I choose to hear. And it's wonderful. Can you, in your introspection time, walk in quietness and peace? Can you, in your liking yourself time, walk in quietness and peace? Can you stop judging yourself? You're not judging me, even though it might appear that way. You're not judging each other, though it might appear that way. You're judging yourself. And when you judge yourself, you're the only one that can take yourself to task. What do you want out of life? What do you want from your experiences here in the monastery? What do you want from your experiences anywhere at all? You have to decide that. What do you want? Do you want to be the perfect, magnificent being that you created yourself as in the beginning? Well, Arul, hey, stop moaning. You're a little child. You're born. You're perfect, untouched. You haven't been sullied by the world yet. And to be sullied by the world means to fall into the trap that the world has set for itself of saying things can't be done, and that there is limitation, and that there is mortality. If you want those things, go for it. But if you're walking the path of your spiritual awareness, they have no place. You are immortal. You are eternal. You're living in your temple of the living spirit, in which every organ, action, function of that temple is perfect now. What is it you want out of life? Do you want to be a normal human being, which is good, and have all the limitations? Or do you want to be a divine human being, which means you're always in charge of everything you do? You're always in charge of all the words you speak, all the ideas you have in your mind. You're always in charge. Nothing touches you. Well, that's a cold fish. No, nothing touches you. You can see the beautiful sunrise and the beautiful sunsets, and you can call them beautiful. But you don't call them more beautiful or less beautiful. You don't call them anything quantitative or qualitative. You just call them as it is and enjoy it as it is. When I look into each one of your eyes, when I look into each one of your eyes, I see a reflection of myself, and I see things I like very much. Now, what do you see when you look in each other's eyes? Do you see beauty and goodness and wholeness and truth? Do you see life everlasting, which you are? Do you see these things? You can. And you can also not see them. Nothing happens by chance in our world. Everything happens by a cause we put into motion. And what cause do you want to put in motion for yourself? It doesn't mean you go to Tibet. It doesn't mean you go to Switzerland. It doesn't mean you follow your love to Africa. It doesn't mean any of these silly things. It means you listen inside yourself. And you don't have to follow anybody anywhere, because around you, you'll create all perfection, all beauty, all goodness. That's what life's all about. That's what the world's all about. I'm not teaching people to stay here at the monastery. That's the farthest thing from my mind. I'm teaching people to be themselves, love themselves, and wherever they are, to be fully content and harmonious, needing nothing, wanting nothing, having everything, being everything. But if you have to leave here to find peace, you won't. If you have to leave here to find your love, you won't. If you have to leave here to be better, you won't. Right now, say, I am the best. I am all. I am peace. I am harmony. I'm right action. I'm truth. And then You can be here or there or anywhere. It doesn't matter. That's why we take the time to tell you that when you break a dish, you're no longer on the kitchen crew. It isn't a matter of whether you want to be or whether you don't want to be. That's just the way it is. And if you stay on the crew, that's like staying on a job after you've been fired. You know, there's really no place for you there. That doesn't mean you can't be rehired or things can't be changed, but it just means that that's the program. So, everything happens by a cause put in motion. Everything. Everything happens by a cause put in motion. Everything. Everything happens by a cause put in motion. La finette.